On the first day of April, a day which the rest of the world jocularly celebrates as April Fool's Day, a heartbreaking event happened in Mindanao Island in the Philippines. Thousand farmers massed in Kitapawan, North Cotabato were fired upon by fully armed special weapons and tactics personnel of the Philippine National Police. At least 2 died, 30 were injured, 79 were arrested, 74 of whom were criminally charged. This is Raymond Villanueva of Kodaw Productions in Manila. The Philippines is an agricultural economy with a feudal political structure. 75% of its people depend on agriculture, while its biggest landholdings are owned by just a handful of families and local and foreign corporations. In fact, its sitting president, Benigno Aquino III, is a landlord who pays his agricultural workers 25 cents a week to work on the vast hacienda that courts have declared are owned by the farmers in the first place. Located in Western Pacific, tropical Philippines is regularly hit by El Nino, a phenomenon that warms ocean waters and worsens the periodic drought on its farmlands. This affects the small and poor farmers the hardest. In Western and Central Mindanao, a breadbasket region that produces rice and corn, very little rainfall has blessed the farmlands since 2015, causing prolonged drought, drying up rivers, parching the soil, failing crops, and setting off widespread hunger. In the province of North Cotabato alone, 28,000 hectares of rice and corn farms are affected. In February, in nearby Maguindanao province, 37-year-old farmer Jimmy Tamberia committed suicide after his crops failed yet again because of the drought. It wasn't as if the Aquino government was not given ample warning. Feni Cusico is the Secretary General of the Group AGHAM, an organization of scientists and engineers who advocate for science and technology for the people. They train peasant communities on sustainable agricultural practices. She reveals warnings issued long before the calamity hit Filipino farmers.
The Philippine Atmospheric, Geophysical, and Astronomical Services Administration made an announcement on September of 2015 that there is a mature and strong El Nino that is emanating from the tropical Pacific Ocean. This El Nino is reported to be comparable in strength or may even surpass the 1997 to 1998 El Nino event. And this current El Nino episode will persist until the second quarter of 2016. Based on the forecast model, the Mindanao region will experience below normal rainfall and above normal temperature. The impact to the agriculture are drought and water shortage that would lead to food crisis. In the 1997 to 1998 El Nino, about 74,000 hectares of agricultural land in 18 provinces were affected. 74 people died, and almost 500,000 agricultural families became impoverished. Severe impact was felt in the Mindanao region. The current El Nino episode has already resulted to a sharp drop in agricultural production in central Mindanao. As of September of 2015, 2 provinces in Mindanao, specifically in Lanao del Sur and Sulu in Arm, were already classified as areas in the state of chronic food insecurity. The dry spell brought about by El Nino would result to moisture stress of staple crops such as rice and corn. This leads to below normal yield of crops or zero harvest. And this has been experienced in Mindanao, where 70 to 100% of food crops has no chance of recovery.
Mercedita Iyong, a farmer in North Cotabato, describes their desperation.
Pumunta po kami ng Kilatawan dahil sa matinding crisis na dinanas ng magsasaka.
We went to Kidapawan because of the grave crisis that we North Cotabato farmers suffer. El Nino has been hitting us hard.
Sa aming magsasaka ay matindi. Kasi
all of us in North Cotabato at the moment are deep in debt in all sorts of loans just to tide ourselves from our hunger.
Ibang-ibang forma ng pautang para makaraos lang
ng buhay. In January this year, the provincial government of North Cotabato declared a state of calamity in 17 towns and their capital city of Kitapawan, the purpose of which was to be able to use its calamity fund worth $15 million. The farmers hoped that help would finally come, but none did. Its leading politicians belonging to the ruling political party are busy wooing votes for the national elections this coming May. In March 28, about 6,000 farmers from various towns in North Cotabato massed in Kitapawan City. They barricaded the main road near the National Food Authority warehouse to demand for 15,000 sacks of rice to be distributed among them. This would allow them relief from hunger for a few weeks until hopefully they can plant and harvest again, weather permitting. The government had a counter-offer, 3 kilos of rice per family per month. The farmers were aghast. 3 kilos of rice would only last them 3 days, they said. On the third day of the farmers' barricade, the government could no longer tolerate what they obviously regarded as impudence by the starving farmers.
Sir, instead of appealing the national to us, highway,
you should appeal to the to governor allow, that, that, na ibigay na yung hinihingi to, ng mga magsasaka.
To allow
kay governor mo mag-appeal, dili sa mga realista, dili sa mga mag-uumang biktima.
And then Punita! 22-year-old farmer Darwin Sulang of Arakan Town and a bystander, 30-year-old Enrique Fabligar of Kitapawan, died. Dozens others were injured, several gravely. Among those arrested were elderly farmers, 3 pregnant protesters, and 2 nurses who only wanted to give them first aid. Inside the church compound where they sought refuge, they were shot at by police snipers. They were then held hostage by both the police and the Philippine Army. The bishop that took them in was threatened, and human rights defenders who came to their aid were harassed. Food and donations from private citizens were prevented from reaching the victims. Jerome Aba was there, negotiating for the farmers when this happened.
Ilang minuto ay tumungo na po ang Philippine National Police. Kasama po nila ang Barangay Police Armed Action Team.
Jerome said that on the first day of the farmers' barricade, the police came accompanied by armed community action teams. They were perplexed with the presence of the SWAT with M16 and M14 assault rifles perched on top of fire trucks. Their guns were trained on the farmers.
Ng bumbero, nakatutok po ang kanilang mga baril sa mga magsasakang nagbabarikada.
Jerome approached Police Colonel Alexander Tagum to tell him that the presence of guns in a protest assembly isn't allowed. The police commander refused to listen. He told Jerome that he should not tell him what to do as he knows what he is doing.
Ni Alexander Tagum, huwag po daw po siya tuturuan, alam daw niya po ang kanyang ginagawa.
Governor Lala Taliño Mendoza also could not meet with the farmers because she was in Manila to receive an award. But at 7 o'clock that night, Chief of Police Kalinga informed Jerome that the governor would be willing to meet with three farmer leaders. The farmers refused, afraid that the governor would only arrest their three representatives. What the farmers wanted was for the governor to meet them all at the barricade. The governor refused. She said that farmers should not give her orders.
Pero tatlong leader lang po ang kanyang kakausapin. Hindi po kumarap ang mga leader dahil pinigilan po sila ng mga magsasaka dahil baka daw po ulihin sila o ipahuli po sila ni Governor Lala Taliño. At ang gusto po ng mga magsasakang nagbabarikada ay kumarap si Governor Lala Taliño mismo doon sa barikada. Pero si Governor Lala ay matigas. Ayaw niya daw pong kumarap. Dahil po, hindi po dapat utusan ang isang gobernadora. Yung po ang
A week after the carnage, the blame game is at its peak. Government officials are blaming activists for allegedly instigating the farmers to demand for relief. Human rights defender Christina Palabay, however, has this to say about what prompted the violent dispersal.
Ginawa ang marahas na dispersal na ito dahil ayaw mapahiya ng local government sa Liberal Party.
This dispersal happened because the local government wanted to save face with the Liberal Party. Its candidate for the presidency, Mar Rojas, is there, just to save face. This is very painful. Those in this administration are heartless. Just to save face with the Liberal Party, they killed a farmer. They rained bullets on the farmers whose demands from this government are really legitimate. This only shows that this so-called straight path government is soaked with the blood of the people.
Demanda sa gobyernong ito, ito ang nagpapakita na ito ang tuwid na daan na ito ay tigip ng dugo ng mga mamamayan na pinapaslang ng gobyernong ito sa ngalan ng sinasabi niyang tuwid na daan.
In the midst of the political din, many farmers who have been recently allowed to leave their church sanctuary have gone back to their parched farmlands. They brought home to their families some kilos of rice that have been donated by private citizens. But none came from the government, which refuses to acknowledge the legitimacy of the farmers' demands, only the legitimacy of its well-aimed bullets. There, the farmers can only look at their dying crops, relentlessly being scorched by an infernal heat and drought. Scientist Cusico explains what the government could have done with its funds to mitigate the effects of the drought and prevent the bloodshed.
The government must first address chronic food insecurity by providing food relief to the farmers severely affected by El Nino. The government must prioritize in modernizing the local agriculture in order to accelerate food production, to use climate-resilient varieties, and to provide agricultural provisions such as irrigation and other post-harvest facilities that would address vulnerability of many communities to El Nino and climate change in general.
Tragically, the Aquino government is in no such frame of mind, busy as it is in campaigning for yet another landlord to become the next president of this benighted land. Indeed, it is not only bullets that kill peasants in the Philippines. Who the Philippine government once killed, it first starves with inaction and heartlessness. From Manila, Philippines, this is Raymond Villanueva of Kodaw Productions. This segment is part of an audio series highlighting the importance of communication as a major tool for development. It was produced with the support of the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters and the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations.